This is VOA News via remote. I'm Marissa Melton. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he will ask Congress for $75 million in assistance for Palestinians in Gaza following the recent ceasefire that brought an end to 11 days of conflict between Israel and Hamas. Blinken made the announcement Tuesday after talks in Ramallah with Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority. The top U.S. diplomat said the U.S. would reopen its consulate in Jerusalem after the Trump administration closed it in 2019. It would also provide $5.5 million in immediate disaster assistance and more than $32 million for a United Nations emergency humanitarian relief campaign. Blinken said the consulate's reopening is an important way, this is a quote, for our country to engage with and provide support to the Palestinian people. He said the United States will work to ensure that Hamas does not benefit from those reconstruction efforts. The top U.S. diplomat also pledged Monday to help expand the economic opportunities for Palestinians in both Gaza and the West Bank. He said doing so would provide a more stable environment that would benefit both Palestinians and Israelis. Earlier in the day, the Secretary of State visited Israeli officials in Jerusalem, where he underscored Israel's right to defend itself. Speaking alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Blinken said both Israel and the Palestinians experienced profound losses during the 11 days of fighting this month and that there is a lot of work ahead to restore hope, respect, and trust. Netanyahu thanked the United States for its show of support. He also warned the Palestinian militants to maintain the ceasefire. VOA News. The U.S. military estimates that it has completed up to a quarter of its pullout from Afghanistan. The news came from U.S. Central Command, or CENTCOM, on Tuesday. CENTCOM also said it had removed about 160 C-17 plane loads of material from Afghanistan and had turned over more than 10,000 pieces of equipment to the Defense Logistics Agency. U.S. President Joe Biden announced last month that American troops would leave Afghanistan by September 11th, after nearly 20 years of military involvement. At the time, at least 2,500 U.S. troops made up part of NATO's Afghanistan mission, which includes less than 10,000 troops. The withdrawal of the U.S.-led NATO force has sparked fears that Afghanistan's civil war could intensify and spiral out of control. Afghan civilians have been killed in a string of attacks since May 1st, when the United States formally began its withdrawal. The White House has announced that U.S. President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin will hold a summit next month in Geneva. June 16th will be the first face-to-face meeting of the two leaders. The White House said Tuesday that President Biden will add the meeting to his first international trip as president when he visits Britain for a Group of Seven meeting and Brussels for a NATO summit. Biden spokeswoman Jen Psaki said the meeting will seek to restore predictability and stability to the U.S.-Russia relationship. Biden has taken a different approach to Putin than former President Donald Trump had, who often dismissed allegations that Russia assisted him in winning the presidency in 2016. Biden has alleged, based on U.S. intelligence findings, that Russians interfered in the 2020 U.S. presidential election. The U.S. has also contended Moscow was behind a hacking campaign called SolarWinds to infect software in networks at 9 U.S. federal agencies to allow Russian agents to gain access. Washington has also criticized Russia for the arrest and jailing of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, and both countries have recently expelled some of the other's diplomats over these and other matters. Regional officials reported strong earthquakes Tuesday in the area surrounding the Democratic Republic of Congo's Mount Nyiragongo volcano. On Saturday, the volcano erupted, killing 32 people, destroying villages, and displacing at least 5,000 residents. The Rwanda Seismic Monitor reported on its Twitter account that several quakes Tuesday, including a magnitude 5.3 quake in the borderlands between Rwanda and eastern DRC. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.